We'll stand if you find your place. James chapter 5, it's right there in verse number 1. Getting close into James here, you can breathe now. Well, maybe not yet. Soon. James chapter 5 says verse number 1. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasures together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered to the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. Ye have nourished your hearts as in the day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. Me and Brother Russell and Brother John had a good time on Monday. Got to go fishing. And if you need to learn how to have faith, just ask Brother John to take down his boat. Me and Brother Russell are all cuddled up on Monday fishing, and it was close fellowship. You have to ask me about that. And I enjoyed the time. It was a good time. It really was a good time of fellowship. It didn't have to be so close, but it was a good time of fellowship. Appreciate Brother Russell and Brother John. Back in James here, now in the last chapter, getting close to the end. I'm not sure we'll have one or two more messages after this. Probably most likely just one. So you're getting close to the end, almost done with it now. But last week here in James, we closed out chapter 4 with this thought on the Christian and his boastings. And the Christian boasting about his plans at the end of chapter number 4. And we think we may have it all figured out and we may plan it ourselves. But what does God have planned? In verse 15 of chapter 4, he says, "For that ye ought to say, if Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If Lord will, we'll get to live, we'll get to do what he wants us to do. If he will have us to live and do more for him, it's all to him." The same thought tonight of the Christian and his boastings is what we're going to start out here in chapter number 5. Let's continue the first 6 verses of chapter 5. This section, verses 1 through 6, James deals with the problem of greed. The Christian and his boastings of his prosperity, boasting in his greed. We talked a lot about pride in the last couple of weeks and how pride is the root of a lot of the problems that James is pointing out here in his book. I believe pride is also the problem here with greed, the reason for the problem of greed. It's human nature to be greedy. Kids usually have to be taught to share and to give. Most little toddlers don't want to do that. You have to teach them. It's human nature to keep it to yourself, and that's a problem. It's part of our sin nature. It's a sin. It still is. I don't care if it's a toddler or an adult, it's still a sin, and it's greed. The Lord's talking to preach through these first 6 verses here, and a little bit into verse number 7, and deal with the Christian and his greed. Not something we like to talk about or mention, but James is pointing it out here, so I believe we need to deal with it. Number 1, we'll see the declaration, verse number 1, chapter 5, verse number 1. Go to now, ye rich men, and weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Back in verse number 13 of chapter 4, we saw James call out the people who had hasty plans and decisions. He said, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city. Now in chapter 5, verse number 1, he says, go to now, ye rich men. He's talking to a different group of people. Here in our first section, chapter 5, he's calling out the rich men. Go to now, ye rich men. Now, I'm going to go ahead and deal with this part here. Is it wrong to be rich? Go ahead and get that settled. Is it wicked to be successful and have money? Of course not. Look at Solomon, the richest king in Israel's history. Look at Abraham, he's a wealthy man, rich in cattle and lands. Jesus constantly talks about parables of rich men and businessmen. He never condemns anyone for being in business. Look at Job, a wealthy man. God allowed Job to lose it all and come back and have more than he did before. Solomon, despite his riches, still got in trouble with women and false gods. So is being rich wrong? No. Greed is the problem. That's what we're going to deal with tonight. Don't think that wealth can keep you out of trouble either. Didn't work for Solomon. Job, as righteous as he was, as rich as he was, he still went through trials. Don't put your faith in your wealth. That's the point here. Job turned around. He was a rich man with children and houses and servants and lands and cattle. He turned around. It's all gone. He's broken. All he has left is a broken pot to scrape his bowls with. Went from a rich man to nothing. Don't put your faith in your prosperity. So James calling out the rich men, the wicked, rich, greedy rich men. As we'll see going forward, he's calling out the greedy, the hoarders of wealth. He says, look here, rich men, wicked rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. James doesn't leave anything to the imagination here. He wants to make sure we know how he feels on the subject. He's very blunt to the point. James, like he has been the whole book, he's very blunt. If James was a pastor today, he probably wouldn't have very many members because he probably would have offended them all. As weak as we are nowadays, easily offended as we are nowadays. This is his message here, the message to the church of Jerusalem. James is sort of prophesying here in this first verse. He's telling them that their miseries will come upon them. He's going to point out more as we go on. Number two, here we see the depreciation of the wealth, the first part of his prophecy here, the depreciation of the wicked rich man's wealth. So the verse number two, your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your riches corrupted. That word corrupted means to putrefy, to perish. It just means they'll be gone, destroyed, worthless. James says your riches will be worthless. You wicked rich men, your riches will be corrupted. The word for riches there is the same word used in Matthew 13. We talk about the parable of the sower. A man sows the seeds and some fall among the thorns. Verse 22 of Matthew 13. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, same word James uses, choke the word, he becometh unfruitful. His picture of the wicked rich man receiving the gospel is that the seed being planted in thorns, with very almost no chance of it springing up fruit because of the deceitfulness of riches, is the picture we get in Matthew. Jesus mentions the same thing over Matthew 19, again with the same word for riches, Matthew 19, 24. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Does that mean it's wrong to be rich? No, we already covered that. It is wrong to put your love and your faith and your riches. It's the idea James is getting at here. His little prophecy here in verse number one is here about the rich man weeping and howling. He says your riches are corrupted. Those riches that choke the seed of the gospel are corrupted. Putting the faith in your riches is corrupted. Those riches that make it easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a man to get to heaven. He says your passion, he says they are corrupted. They will be gone. They'll be taken away, made useless. He says also your garments are moth-eaten. He says even your costly robes and apparel that you adorn yourselves with, make pat yourself on the back with them, even they will be destroyed by the moth. He says they eat his way and destroy it. Reminds me of Matthew 6:19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. The riches of this world, they are depreciating, is what James is saying here. You might say, oh, not mine. Maybe not now, maybe not in your lifetime, but eventually they're going to be destroyed, going to be corrupted. They'll all be gone at some point, one day. Does that mean we shouldn't be wise with our money? Does that mean we shouldn't try to be successful now? Of course not. I don't know if you noticed or not, but it's not the homeless man sending missionaries on the foreign field. It's people with money. The church needs money. Send missionaries. Do work for the Lord. James here is talking about the boasting of riches. Putting our faith more in our riches than in Christ. If you put your faith in your wallet, eventually it'll be corrupted. Your garments will be moth-eaten. Like a storm out of nowhere, you'll lose it all and be left with nothing but garments full of moth-eaten holes. It's a picture he's painting for us here in James. What are you trusting in, church? Are you trusting in the budget report back there on the back wall, or are you trusting in the Lord? Are you trusting in your wallet? Are you trusting in the Lord? I have to watch myself with this. I like being comfortable. I like having numbers on the board better. It makes me feel comfortable. It's human nature. Be careful we don't put our faith in the budget, our faith in your wallet. You should put your faith in the right place. If the Lord came back today, would he be pleased with us? Would he be pleased with what we're trusting in? We see the depreciation of wealth. It can hurt you if you're not careful. You start trusting it sooner or later, it'll all be gone. It's going to be gone at some point. One day it will be gone. Careful what you're trusting. We see the depreciation through the doom of wealth. Verse number three. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. That cankered means to rust down. The rust that shall be a witness against you. The coin that is in circulation, the coin that is being used, doesn't rust. The penny that's passed around from person to person still stays pretty shiny. It's the penny that gets thrown in the corner that turns green and nasty. It rusts, gets corrupted. It's reference to basically buried treasures. What he's talking about here is someone that has greedily hoarded all they could and stuffed it away, never to be used again. Instead of helping the church and helping the missionaries and helping out any way that God leads you to do, you've greedily kept it back, buried it, and kept it for yourself. James says it shall be a witness against you. Your rusty gold and silver, I don't know how long it takes gold to rust. Never seen gold rust before. Maybe y'all know, working a gold mine. I don't think it really happens too often. James says it will. It shall eat your flesh as it were fire. He says your rusty gold and silver, your moth-eaten garments shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Your corrupted riches shall be a witness against you. Everyone's going to know what you've been doing with your wealth. You've been hoarding it away. It'll be a witness. James says this greedy wealth will destroy you, eat you as it were fire. He says it's going to destroy you. It's going to eat you alive. What is James talking about here? Why is he being so harsh against the rich man in this chapter? I believe it's for the same reason we read over in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil. While with some coveted after they have erred from the faith, they pierced themselves through with many sorrows. This is kind of the wealth he's condemning, the love of money. Those that are greedy, those that take all they can, refuse to give. Those that take and steal and weasel their way into prosperity. James says, you may have wealth, but it's going to be corrupt, it's going to rust away, and it's going to eat you alive. You better be careful what you're trusting in. He closed out the verse number 3 with that phrase, you have heaped yourselves treasures together for the last days. You stored it all up waiting for something that's never going to come. Those last days will come, the judgment will come, and it's all going to be destroyed. You're going to have a big bank account, and it's all going to get blown up at the end in these last days. You probably heard that phrase, he who dies with the most toys wins. The truth is, he who dies with the most toys will be a witness against you, as James talks about here, James says. Be careful of your greed. Careful of the love of money. It's dangerous. If the Lord says give, you'd be better off giving all you can. I promise you, I've had times when the Lord told me to give. One time in particular, I was younger, he told me to give some money. I didn't get. I felt like it was too much money to give. I didn't think I could afford it. I refused to give it. I still regret that today. Can't forget it. If the Lord pushed me to give now, I learned my lesson. Make sure I give. I never regretted giving. The Lord tells me I've never regretted giving money away. I've regretted hoarding. I have no business storing it up in the corner, letting it rust and storing it for the last day. I have no business being greedy and hoarding. Yes, take care of your family. Yes, you should do that. Yes, there's nothing wrong with having a retirement plan, planning for your future and your family's future. Nothing wrong with that. It's biblical to do so. Take care of your family. But be careful with greed. We see the doom of wealth. It's going to be destroyed. It can be dangerous. We see the details of his greed in verse number 4. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered to the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. Here James explains some of the greed that's going on here, this trickery. He talks about hiring laborers to reap the fields and then not paying them. Kept back by fraud. Apparently they've had some issues with this here in James' day in the church here. Hiring a laborer, him doing the work, and then refusing to pay him. I don't think we have any problems with that here, at least I hope not. One thing we can relate to our present day is paying your bills. You hire a doctor to help you heal. You keep back his payment. Saying the same thing as a rich man who hired the laborers and didn't pay him. You say, I just can't afford it. Well, make some arrangements to get that fixed. I've heard stories before of pastors trying to get a loan, get a mortgage in their own town. They can't get a mortgage from a local bank because they're a pastor. They have a bad reputation. It shouldn't be so in the church. It's crooked. Pay your bills. I know that's simple. Everybody understands that. But it's right. It's biblical. Guard your testimony. If you honestly can't afford it, make some arrangements. Get things figured out. Make a phone call. Let them guard your testimony. It's important to guard the testimony. I would hate for the church to be the one not paying their bills. It's a sad testimony to the church. God can take care of it. It's important. James says here, those that don't get paid, they cry. It says, the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of the Sabbath. God hears and God knows how you handle your money. He knows your testimony. He sees what you're doing with it. You want God to bless you, let you have more, improve. You can handle it. The late Brother Stennett Blue has said a million times, God will give through you what he will not give to you. You want blessings to come through. You want to be able to give. Prove that you'll give. Get rid of your greed. It's dangerous. It eats you alive, James says, like a fire. God knows our testimony. He's watching us. Be careful. We see his disclosed wickedness, verse number 5 and 6. You have lived in pleasure on the earth and been wanton. You have nourished your hearts as in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. You have lived in pleasure on the earth, he mentions in verse number 5. You've had a good life, lived in ease and pleasure. You've nourished your heart. Whatever your heart desired, you gave it to yourself. Whatever you wanted, you got it. You lived in pleasure. That word wanton there just means luxurious. It means living luxurious place. It just means more pleasure, more ease. He says, as in a day of slaughter, like the sheep is eating grass outside of the slaughterhouse. You're literally right beside destruction. You can smell the destruction, yet you continue to live in pleasure on earth, nourishing your heart, selfishness, only caring about yourself, not caring about anything heavenly or about anything except yourself and your heart and your own heart and your own desires. He says, you have condemned and killed the just. He does not resist you. Killed innocent people, much like Jesus Christ. This is not long after Jesus had been crucified. If anyone was just, it was him. They killed him, the just. He did not resist him. James says, you sit there in your luxury and your pleasure, just living your life for yourself. Meanwhile, you kill Jesus Christ, the just. He did not resist you. He says you get away with it. As if James is almost confused by their prosperity. And they're still rich. They still get away with it. He says one day this is going to catch up to you. And it's going to eat you like a fire. It's going to destroy you. He says, but one day, it's in verse 1 and 2, you will be destroyed. You will be gone. He says, you get away with it now. You can pat yourself on the back. Now you get away with it now. But one day it's going to destroy you. It's going to eat you alive. Notice that next verse there, in verse number 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. James says, brethren, the church, just be patient. Just wait on God. Yes, there is wicked, rich, selfish, greedy men here. He mentions in this chapter. He says, just be patient. Their prosperity will come an end, come to an end. They will not get away with wickedness and greed for very long. Eventually, it will catch up to them. There are a few passages in the Bible that deal with this same thought pattern here. One of them is Psalm 73. I preached on that before. Go ahead and turn there, if you would, Psalm 73. I'm just going to go ahead and read several verses here. I'm just going to skip through it. But start there in verse number 1. Psalm 73 and verse number 1. Psalm of Asaph. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, for their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt, they speak wickedly concerning oppression, they speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. They say, how doth God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, understood I therein. Asaph, the author here, lists all the problems and all their success. He does not understand. He gets on to verse number 17. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I therein. James here talks about the wicked rich men, their prosperity. Eventually he said, and eventually their fall. And in verse number 7, he says, be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. It's going to come to an end. What's the point of all this here tonight? How does it relate to us? I don't think we have any super greedy rich men. I don't think we do. If we do, you got me fooled. Maybe we need to have a discussion about that if you are. Isaiah? I don't think anybody like that. So what's the point? It encouraged me as I studied this today. All this mayhem going on in our country right now, it doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it. Democrat versus Republican and the white versus the black and the cops versus the protesters and all the trouble going around. I don't understand it. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I'm just tired of it, to be honest. I'm sick of it. It seems like only getting worse and worse and worse. I do not understand the greed of the politicians. I don't understand the narrow-mindedness of a lot of these people. Only concerned about themselves and only concerned about their greed and what they can get out of it. This Antifa junk coming in and starting trouble where there wasn't no trouble before. Nonsense. I don't understand it. It says in Psalms 73:17, till I went to the sanctuary of God and stood out of their end. Or James says, be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. Can I encourage you tonight that when it seems like enemy is winning, these wicked rich men are getting more rich and prospering, it seems like they're just getting away with everything they want to get away with. It seems like Satan is having his heyday and doing everything he wants to do in our country. I don't understand it either. They are nourished in their hearts in the day of slaughter. Remember verse number 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. The Lord is coming back, church. We don't have to live in this wicked world for forever. We don't have to be surprised by this junk today. We were warned it was coming. Revelation tells us the trouble is coming. It's not going to get any better until the Lord comes back. Are you ready? Today, the Lord is coming back. Be patient, therefore, brethren, to the coming of the Lord. There may be a lot of greed. Be careful with the greed. It can hurt all of us. It can even get into the church. Be careful of it. But I'm glad it's coming to an end. I'm glad there will be an end. I'm glad He is coming back to get us. I'm glad He has a plan. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for giving us. Thank you for this church. Lord, thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Lord, I pray you bless some of the fellowship here. Lord, thank you for everything for us in Jesus' name.